Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to the premiere episode of Can We Talk? I'm your host, Raz Williams. We're really excited for the debut of this new radio show where we're going to tackle the hottest issues going on in the world today. I mean, we're going to talk about everything from relationships to politics to entertainment to healthy living. You name it, we're going to cover it all. But most importantly, guys, we're going to talk about it from a godly perspective. Guys, just so you know, we're going to be airing every Friday night from 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. So, guys, please be sure to tune in every week and support the show. I want to get into today's topic, how to position yourself to find love God's way. Yeah, that's right. We're going to go in deep. I mean, we're going to go in real deep tonight. We're going to talk about the L word, love. Ladies, have you ever asked yourself, where are all the good men? Guys, have you ever asked yourself, where are all the good women? Why is it so hard to find Mr. or Mrs. Right? Is there something wrong with me? Am I afraid to love? What if I fail? I might get hurt. In a society filled with dishonorable males, girls gone wild, angry, bitter females, and misogynistic men, it may look like you'll never find love. But God, the creator and the author of love, has a plan for your love life. Finding the one is not about going on more dates, hanging out at bars, attending singles events, or searching online all night. It is not about asking your friends to match you up, and it's not about keeping an eye out every time you go out because you never know when he or she will show up. Guys, we've all done that, and it doesn't work. Finding God's match is not about working harder, working longer, or trying more. It's about preparing and positioning yourself to receive that special someone into your life. Yeah, that's right. You have to be prepared so you can make God feel comfortable introducing that right person into your life. So then, the big question becomes, how do I prepare myself for love? Well, joining me tonight to tackle this issue is my panel of co-hosts. First of all, I mean, my main sister. Before I let her introduce herself, I just want to say, man, Alicia Cheney gives some of the realest advice out there. And she's no lightweight either. Alicia Cheney worked as a TV news reporter at various CBS affiliates on the East Coast before relocating to Southern California. Since moving to the West Coast, she has hosted a feature radio show, reported on the red carpet, and hosted a lifestyle TV show for women. But most importantly, Alicia is a woman after God's heart who has a passion to empower other women to live victoriously by applying the life-changing power of God's word to their daily lives. Alicia, it's great to have you on the show. Tell everybody where you're from and let us know what you think about today's topic.
All right. Thank you, Raz, so much for having me. I am from Springfield, Illinois. And I'm really excited to talk about this topic because, as you mentioned in your introduction, so many people have that question of why am I still single? And oftentimes we look outside of us like, oh, there aren't enough good people out there. But really we need to start looking within, and as we do that, we'll become better positioned to receive, as you said, that person God has for us. So I'm excited for tonight's topic. Hopefully it'll be eye-opening and eventually it'll lead to some love matches where God's able to connect the right people to do his work on this earth. So I'm excited. So thanks for having me.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Thanks for being here. Last but not least, my main man, Ronnie Ambrose. Ronnie Ambrose is a husband, a brother, a son, and a business owner. He's also a current student of eschatology at Wordwise Ministries and a member of the MTB Music Radio Board. Ronnie, what's up, yo?
How you doing, Raz? Thanks for having me here.
Oh, man, you got it, brother. Hey, listen, Ronnie, man, I wanted to ask you, bro, what do you think about today's topic, man?
Well, I think it's really necessary because the important thing is everyone is searching for love, because there's a thing, you are created to either be someone's husband or be someone's wife so that God's will could happen, that you would, you know, be fruitful and multiply. So it's definitely a fact that a man needs a woman and a woman needs a man. But the thing that I'm looking and believing that we're going to clarify today is, like the topic of the show is positioning yourself to do it, all importantly, God's way. You're God's creation, why not do it God's way? And so if we could just identify and make a clear distinction between what society's standard has, you know, put before us and what God's standard is, I think the positioning will be that much easier to accomplish. So I'm excited about tonight.
Man, that's real. We'll talk. I'm excited because you guys just I've known you guys for probably almost a year now, and you guys give some of the most realest advice out there, and I think are more than qualified. Ronnie, you're married, right?
Oh yes, happily now. We've been married for about 3 years, and we started off not doing it God's way, and we found out the peace, the tranquility and the understanding and the whole different level of true love after we actually found out what God's way was.
Man, that's awesome, Ronnie. Guys, just so you know, if you want to call in with a question or a comment, you can call us at 347-945-7310. That's 347-945-7310. Well, guys, let's dive in right into this question tonight in this topic. And my thoughts in this topic is that there's a lot of single people out there in the world and even in the church. And it confuses me sometimes because I'm kind of thinking, like, why can't we find each other? Like, why is it so hard to really be compatible with somebody? Maybe it's me, but every year as I get older, it becomes more complex and more complex. And we see a plethora of failed marriages in Christendom and in the world, and relationships do not work. So I just kind of wanted to talk about some what you guys thought the reasons for that were. And Alicia, what's your comment about that?
Well, you know, Raz, you really bring up a good point. I think a lot of people have that question. A lot of people are wondering why are there so many single people out there. And not only are men wondering it, but women are wondering it. I have single girlfriends who, you know, as we get older as well, are wondering, okay, God, when is that man that you have for me coming? And so really I think there are a lot of different reasons that are connected to that. A while ago, God just started to open my understanding about different areas, and one of which was just like you would prepare yourself for a job interview or prepare for whatever those big plans are that you have for your life, you have to recognize that there needs to be a preparation that takes place for one of the most important decisions that you will ever make, and that is who you would be spending the rest of your life with as far as here on this earth in marriage. And so when you're making such a huge commitment, you have to understand that preparation has to be a key part of that. And I think so many people want to skip over that portion and just hop right to the marriage. Oh, let's plan a nice big wedding and think all about the wedding and the happily ever after, but if you don't prepare for that, then you're never going to get to that happily ever after. And so I think one of the reasons why so many people are still single is because they haven't really prepared themselves to be a mate so that they can be connected. They may have issues from their past, or they may have other circumstances, whether financially or different issues along those lines that they haven't dealt with. And as a result, they really aren't ready to be a wife or ready to be a husband. And so that would be one of the key reasons that I think that so many people are still single.
Wow. You heard it, guys. That's good. Brother Wani, what'd you have to say about that?
Well, I totally agree. I totally agree with Alicia because you set out and you're looking at the finish and you're forgetting that, you know, there's a lot involved to get from start to finish. And even in a race, like she said, for anything, you do have to prepare. And I believe that preparation starts with the proper, having your source be the source of truth. Because if I base my appetite on, if I'm getting my appetite from society, then I'm going to be listening to commercials, rumors, I'm going to be searching for the things that aren't necessarily true in a mate, and I'm going to be trying to live a standard that's not necessarily what I was created for. And so I believe there is like a high divorce or failure rate for marriages because they get disappointed in the reality that it wasn't what they were sold, you know, that it requires 100% from each person in the relationship, that when you're meeting someone, who's coming with a lot of baggage. Baggage is not necessarily bad, but if it's not addressed, it could get in the way. And then you're also living up to the standard of society. If the model that you follow or your leadership is something that isn't true, you're basically making yourself false, and then you'll never have a true love. You'll never have a true relationship. You'll be stuck in a mode where you can't even really be yourself. And now you have a partner, or you're a partner to someone, and you're tormented inside because you've never found out exactly what it takes to be someone's wife or to be someone's husband. You never considered the fact that, you know, the Bible lays out exactly what's required of a wife and exactly what's required of a husband. And no, it's not, you know, the woman is supposed to get my shoes and get my newspaper. No, the Bible actually says if you're a husband, you got to put yourself in a position to die for her as Christ died for the world. And so if a guy's not ready to go that far for his mate, he should prepare himself because that's what's required to have a successful marriage that God will bless and keep together. So I just believe that the source of our information, where we're getting our descriptions of love and relationship and communication, if we change the source of those definitions to the true source, you know, to the one who gave us all these things, God, then we'll have a stronger relationship. We'll be able to actually notice that person that God has for us and be the person that God has created us to be for the mate that we're looking for. So I just think the source of your understanding is very important with how you actually prepare and go forward with living with someone and for someone.
That's definitely truth. That's definitely I concur what you just said. For me, personally, I believe that you really have to check your relationship with God. Do you have a strong spiritual foundation? Because God is love, and more often people don't realize that love is spiritual. It is more spiritual than it is physical. But again, like you said, Ronnie and Alicia, people's whole perspective is all about the physicality of the area of love, and they completely miss it. So as a man, if I'm looking for a wife, but I don't know what love is about, I can't give her what I don't have. So if my relationship with God is where it needs to be, that's my foundational relationship. And then and only then am I able to relate and love and reflect the love, the God kind of love, to another human being. And I just think a lot of times people do not take their relationship with God seriously enough and really renew their minds. And this is why we have a lot of toxic false beliefs and expectations of what love is, self-defeating behaviors, hurts, angers, frustrations, and resentments. And more importantly, I think a lot of people are very selfish too.
I agree.
So, yeah, I mean, those are most of my reasons. I believe that that people are, and also I think it's also different for men and women. I think, Alicia, I mean, what would you say would be, being a woman and a Christian woman, what are the things that you've seen in women that women struggle with that maybe disqualifies them for receiving love?
Okay. Well, a couple things that I would say. One, I think a lot of women have this unrealistic idea of what this mate should be. So many times I hear women make comments of, you know, oh, gosh, it's going to be the greatest love that I've ever known. And not that, God definitely intends for your mate after him to be number one, but one of the things, scriptures that God really, you know, highlighted to me is a scripture, and I think it's John, and it says that no greater love has this than one to lay down his life for his friends. And so we have to recognize first and foremost that the greatest love that there will ever be for us is the love that God has for us, that that's not a void that a mate can fill. And so I think one of the things that we as women and individuals have to recognize is that don't walk into a relationship, a marriage, with this unrealistic expectation that this person is going to fill a void that only God can fill. It also talks about in the Word in Colossians that, you know, that we are made complete in Christ. And so we have to come into a relationship whole in Him. So if we're not whole first before we get to that relationship and we're expecting that relationship to fix something that's broken, once again, we're coming in setting ourselves up for failure. So I just think that so often women make that mistake of thinking that this relationship is going to fix those things that are wrong. You know, oh, gosh, I'm so lonely. And, yeah, a relationship will be great because you'll have companionship and someone to share life with, but you also have to understand the balance of why God created marriage. It isn't just for the purpose of, you know, having someone to share a journey through this life, but it really also embodies the purpose of being able to do more for the kingdom of God with another individual than what you can do by yourself. And so even I think a lot of times women just we have to begin to realize and assess from a perspective of what we need to begin to do to prepare, as well as kind of examining ourselves and saying, okay, am I going into this knowing, having a real expectation, a realistic view of what this union should look like? And I think so often we think that it's going to, as I said, fix all those broken areas. So that's part of what I would just say.
Wow. That's why I have Alicia on the show, guys, because she gives some of the most realist comments out there. And, man, I just think that, talking about women, Alicia, I mean, as a single man, I mean, Ronnie, you're married, so I'm sure this doesn't pertain to you, but being single, my eyes are wide open. I see a lot of things that kind of piss me off. Like, for example, like, I noticed that women seem to, I mean, not all women, and ladies, I'm not bashing anybody. Please don't call in and want to debate with me. I'm not trying to bash nobody. I'm just saying that, can we just talk? All I'm saying is this, is that stop living life from your perspective. You want God to bless you with a husband, then just like you go into an interview and you want the job, you're going to conform to that, whatever that company wants you to conform to, in order for you to pass your probation and be blessed in that job. So if you want love, conform to what God wants so God can bless you with that man. There's women out there right now, you guys are praying to God for a godly husband, but you're still sleeping with I got a friend, and you're sleeping with that friend, or you dating multiple dudes. All those things is going to disqualify you from making God feel comfortable blessing you with that man. So pretty much, I mean, and guys too. Guys who are watching pornography, some of you are sleeping around. And I've been there. I'm not coming to you as unperfect, but I've been there and I know what I'm talking about. So all these things kind of like corrupt our souls, distort our thinkings, our perceptions, and our views. And there's no reason, there's no wonder why we really cannot bond with another human being, especially the opposite sex. So when God sees these things, he's saying that, you know what, you're not serious. I can't bless you. I can't bless you. I'm not going to bless your life for you to become a curse to somebody else's life. And that's the thing we have to really pay attention to and remember. Ronnie, what do you think about my comment?
Well, I agree. I believe, but I'm going to look at the source. The source of that kind of behavior is like a lack of guidance, you know. And so I believe the core of a lot of relationship issues, the core of a lot of issues in society in general, because it is the world, is that it's removed from the truth of God's word. And so if you've got a woman who's raised up in the way of God and she's seeing these examples in her life, all through her life, and not just in her home, but, you know, in her neighborhood and in her workplace and wherever she would go, if we're in a place where the word of God was our foundation, I believe that problem would be taken care of. But, you know, just as for now, it is a wrestle. It's just, everything is spiritual. And so if a person doesn't realize that, they're subject to just be tossed around, and it would be a constant tug of war with wanting to do right but keep doing wrong because you have no guidance. And so I don't think it just applies for women. I believe it applies for the men as well, that just from experience, without guidance, my expectations are totally distorted. Not only what I expect from a woman was distorted, but what I thought my role was totally distorted. And so because it was all due to lack of knowledge of the truth and, you know, the simplicity in it, because it's really God's will which allows his power to guide you in the right way and give you the wisdom and give you the insight that it wouldn't be common according to the world. And so I just believe that the setup begins when a person is removed or is without the true knowledge of God. I'm not talking about just going to church. I'm talking about the key word is relationship. Because I could be in a room with a bunch of people, but without a relationship, I don't really know them. Without dialogue, without submission to them. Submission doesn't mean, you know, slavery or anything like that, but just in the conversation, you got to submit to understand what the person's saying, and they submit to understand what you're saying. So if you put yourself in a position to develop a relationship with God, and Alicia touched it well when she said to actually know what love truly is, you know, and to know that in Christ you'll find the love that God has for you. If these things are your foundation, you'll be less susceptible to go for anything. Because you'll have a standard. If your standard comes from God, then you really overcome the deception of this world. And so I believe that a lot of the failure, a lot of the disappointment, a lot of missing it comes from living a life without the knowledge of truth that is given to us by God through the Bible.
And that's so true, Ronnie. I believe that because there's going to be people listening to this show that are not Christians that probably do not have a relationship with God. But the most important thing that we have to understand and realize is that God is love. It's like you can't separate wet from water. You can't separate love from God because he is love. So in order for you to be blessed, in order for you to have a functional loving relationship, you must first go to the manufacturer of love and get the directions on how to operate in that arena. So it behooves you to really develop a relationship, people, to really understand what love is about. And that way, and only then, will you be able to to begin to have a healthy relationship horizontally, as far as with a wife or even with your children or even with just your friends, period. But guys, I want to talk about having a strong spiritual foundation. Why do you think it's so important when it comes to the area of finding love?
Well, I would say when it comes to finding love, I look at my life now as opposed to my life, you know, really before I got serious about my walk with Christ, and just using my life as an example as far as how important it is to have a strong spiritual foundation. Once God was the foundation of my life, it really changed the way that I did things. It changed my perspective. I became more concerned about how I treated people. If I offended somebody, I would apologize to them. And so I think just even having the Word of God as your spiritual foundation, it becomes your basis, your authority for all things. Like if you are in a marriage and you understand that the Word of God is the foundation of that marriage, when it comes to making a decision and God has placed the man as the head of that house, well, then it's the responsibility of the woman. Not that she can't have a voice or a say, but at the end of the day, God has placed the man as that head. And so you have to recognize the structure and the order that God has placed. And if you don't have a spiritual foundation to understand the Word and He be the God and His Word are the foundation of your life, then it's going to be difficult to navigate a relationship because you'll go according to what you feel. Oh, today I feel kind of, you know, emotional and I'm kind of wanting to do what I want to do as opposed to what does the Word of God say. And that's my biggest thing is when you come back to anything, what does God's Word say? So if somebody's going to ask me a question, their advice on something or my thoughts, immediately it's going to go, well, what does the Word of God say about this issue? And so I just really believe just even thinking about different things, the Word really shows us about how to grow and to develop into the character of Christ, developing the fruits of the Spirit, walking in love. I'm not married, but I know it's going to require being able to walk in love once I am married. And so if I don't have the fruit of the Holy Spirit at work within me where that love is growing, then I'm going to begin to walk in my emotions, walk in the flesh, and just do things how Alicia wants to do them as opposed to how God would want. And so I just would say that looking at your spiritual foundation, it is absolutely essential. It's what you build your life on. It's what you build a house on. And if you even think about a house that didn't have a foundation or even how the Word of God says a house that's built up on a foundation of sand, it's going to get tossed to and fro when the winds and the storms of life come. So if you think about your relationship not having a proper spiritual foundation, when difficult times come, it's going to not be able to withstand those trials and adversities. So it's absolutely essential.
Wow. Ronnie?
Oh, yeah. I totally agree. I totally agree. And the question was, you know, having a strong spiritual foundation is important. And I'd like to add to that, having the correct spiritual foundation. Because as it's been stated earlier by Alicia and all of us, that this is a biblical perspective. When you hear, for those that aren't saved or for those that don't go into the Bible, when Alicia's saying the Word, she's talking about the instructions and the truth that is found in the Bible. And so having a strong spiritual foundation is extremely important. And I want to add to that, having the correct spiritual foundation is important as well, because the correct spiritual foundation is the order that Alicia was talking about, and the order is given by God, that God is the head of Christ, and Christ is the head of man, and man is the head of his household. And so once you establish the proper order, now you allow God into your life spiritually. And then there's things that get taken care of by God on behalf of your obedience. And so having the proper spiritual foundation is a blessing. when your spiritual foundation is God that made the whole universe through Christ and saves the world through Christ. But if you attach your spirit to, I'm going to just call them the unclean things of this world, now you're dealing with the wrong spiritual foundation, because there's a lot of philosophy, there's a lot of avenues that are presented to a person, especially in America. There's a lot of deceit. There's a lot of options out here that are being they're really deceptive, and they're being fed to people as a freedom of choice type thing. And you do have free will, but regardless of what it is, you want the correct thing to guide your life, because you can get into something and it may be spiritual, but it's the incorrect spiritual authority over your life, which will just deceive you and lead you on the wrong path. So having a strong spiritual foundation is one. So consider yourself a spiritual being, because that's what you are, and you need to have a spiritual foundation, and then take it a step further and give yourself and allow the correct spiritual foundation into your life, so that you'll have the things that God created you to have. So that's what I think the spiritual foundation is important, as well as the correct spiritual foundation.
Man, Ronnie, I like what you just said there. Like it or not, you are a spirit. For those who don't believe in God, for those who are borderline on the fence, you are a spirit. So for you to exist in this world, for you to prosper in the things of God, you have to realize that the things that you do have spiritual consequences. So when God is telling us to do certain things, he's telling us for our own benefit. Guys, you have to understand that we live in a world where Satan is out there seeking who he wants to devour, to kill, steal, and destroy. That's his assignment. And we're in a real war out here. You look at the world today, with so much going on, so much craziness. The craziness of this world with sexuality, with relationships. And Satan's a big part of why this is going on. And the only way we can insulate ourselves and protect ourselves is to have right relationship with God, to have spiritual authority, to have a strong spiritual foundation, to shield your mind and renew your mind in God's word. Then and only then can you really be on the right path to avoid the pitfalls that comes with deception. For example, ladies, I mean, men, I mean, how are you going to know if that person is the right person for you? God will tell you. I mean, Ronnie, if you had a daughter and you knew that the guy she was talking to was no good, you'll tell her, right?
I would have to. That's my duty.
Exactly. So if we're God's children, do you not think he would tell us? Of course he would. But if you don't know his voice, if you don't have a relationship with God, how are you going to know? How are you going to know which way to turn, whether to turn left or turn right? So it's so important, guys, to have a strong spiritual foundation and a strong relationship with God, to know the voice of God when making decisions, especially in the area of love, because God knows the whole future. He sees your life. Like Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts I have for you, thoughts of peace, to give you a future and a hope and expected end. God knows all these things, so we need to really refer to God when it comes to the area of any area of our lives, but primarily we're talking about love. So, guys, I just want to ask the second question. Do you know what true love is? A lot of times people don't understand the parameters of love. Their definition of love is pretty much Hollywood. Oh, he looks good, she looks good, and I get fuzzy feelings in my stomach, I get butterflies. And people, a lot of times, I feel that people translate that as love. I think it's very important to know what true love is according to how God defines love. Love is just not looking good. Love is not good sex. Love is not, an attractive person. Love is about, to me, it's about sacrifice. Being a servant, even when it's uncomfortable.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I really agree with what you just mentioned about a lot of people don't know what true love is. And once again, going back to the Word of God as the authority on the situation, God is love, and He is the one who established love. So if we're going to truly understand what true love is, we have to look to how does God define love, and no better place to look than, one, the example of Christ. And so when you think about the love that He has for us, that He would lay down His life for us, then you have to ask yourself, do I really love this person, or is it just lust? Because when you say, oh, I love this person, I have these butterflies in my stomach, you know, you think, oh, I'm really in love. But in reality, love isn't driven and motivated by emotions. Love is much deeper than that. Love is patient. And, you know, it tells us in 1 Corinthians all the different attributes of what love looks like and how love acts. And when you really take time to understand that love is patient and love is kind and love doesn't keep track of, you know, another person's faults. When you get married or you're walking in a relationship and you understand that, you know, maybe your spouse or the person you're in a relationship with is, you know, has wronged you, well, are you automatically out of love now because you're angry with that person? Well, when you have that ability to now begin to look beyond those faults and be able to say, you know, I'm not going to keep track of every single thing that you've done, that's stepping up to a higher level of maturity, and that's being able to say, I'm truly walking out love the way God designed it. And so that really is, you know, what is true love? That's what I would point to, what Christ demonstrated. And even as was mentioned earlier, you know, a husband should love his wife in the same way that Christ loved the church and gave his life for her. And so you think about him hanging on the cross and suffering for hours for us, that he went to the extreme for us. And you ask yourself, am I really willing to do that for another individual? And you can answer that for yourself, well, then do I really love them? And that right there will be your answer, because sometimes we can stop, quote-unquote, what we know to be love, loving a person when they do us wrong, or stop loving a person, you know, when they offend us. And, you know, God said in His Word that while we were yet sinners, He sent Christ to die for us. And that shows us even when we weren't, what do you call it, walking things out that have God still loved us. And so I would just say that true love is what has been demonstrated to us by the perfect example, who is Christ Jesus Himself.
Man, I like what you just said, Alicia. That's real talk right there. But Juana, did you want to comment on that? Brother Ronnie, there? We may have lost him. He may have to call back in. But I want to go into a guest speaker. His name is Pastor Ennis. He's an assistant pastor of Oasis Christian Center in Hesperia, California. And I've known him for probably about 3 years. And he's a husband, a father of four kids, and he's been married for 27 years. He also has a degree in psychology. He's a successful businessman. And, Pastor, how you doing?
Well, I'm blessed. Can you hear me, Raph?
Oh, can hear you really good.
Okay, good. Praise God. Well, first of all, thank you for the privilege, the opportunity, and the honor to share with you all tonight. I've had an opportunity to listen to some of the conversation, and it's just amazing how the Spirit of God works, because so many things that have been shared already are some points that I also had want to kind of highlight as points of discussion. So it's certainly the Spirit of God is already involved in what's going on with regards to these conversations. So, Raz, did you want me to kind of go ahead and begin sharing some of the things that the Lord had placed on my heart to share?
Oh, please do.
All right. Well, if you don't mind, anytime I'm sharing the Word of God in the form of ministry, I always like to take a moment of time to pray to ensure that the Spirit of God has free reign and that He just speaks through me and shares the things that He would have me to share with the audience tonight. So if you would just join me in prayer. Father, we come before You in the magnificent name of Jesus, and we do thank You and we praise You, Father God, for Your word, for His entrance of Your word that brings life, for Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So, Father, as we break open Your word, Father, we thank You that it shall be crystal clear to us, Father, the things that You would have us to know. I thank You that You're anointing every ear to hear, and every heart to receive. I thank You, Father, for the authority that we have in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And Your word declares whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatever we loose on earth is loose in heaven. So we take authority over every principality, every power, ruler of the darkness of this world. Satan, we bind you and render you helpless and ineffective in the name of Jesus. And ministering angels, we loose you to bring forth the word of God into our lives. And Father, we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
As Raz had spoke to me some time ago about sharing with the audience tonight, you know, I was prayerful about it, and I got some specific things that I think are essential as it relates to as far as how to position ourselves to find God's love as it relates to establishing a relationship. You know, so many times in our lives, we seek to develop a relationship with another individual. However, we are lacking some things within ourselves that will prohibit that from coming to pass. And as I reflect over my own life and how my relationship came together with my wife, who I am, as Raz stated, I've been married 27 years come July. But she and I have actually been together 32 years. The three things I want to focus on, because this is how my relationship with my wife all came into fruition. And the three things I want to discuss is, number one, who are you? Number two, becoming what you desire. And number three is becoming kingdom-minded. And if you have your Bibles, I would just have you to turn to Acts chapter 19, verses 13 through 15. And while this scripture in its context is not dealing with relationships, it does have a profound truth here. And it states here in Acts chapter 19, 13 through 15, it says, "Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call on the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, 'We exorcise you by the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches.' Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, 'Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?' And what I have found in my walk and conversations with a number of believers, or a number of Christians, is that there's too many children of God, or people who call themselves children of God. They really suffer an identity crisis. And the problem is that we allow too many things from the outside world to come in and influence the way we think, rather than really taking time to see what the Word of God says and to walk in those truths, as opposed to even some of the things maybe that well-meaning Christians may often share with us. Because unless they are sharing with us truths from the Word of God, it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. And too oftentimes, people are getting their direction from people who don't even believe the Word of God. So, you know, the most important thing, I think, is first of all, is for us to come to an understanding of who we are. And I think that all begins when we take a look at how we were created. I believe many people who are even born again, they don't truly understand what it means to be born again. And when you really take a deep study of the scripture, to be born again actually means to return back into your original state. And I'm kind of paraphrasing that, but if you were to study it out in the Greek, that's essentially what it's talking about. It's talking about an individual who never existed before. And it also has the connotation of returning back to our original beginning. And so the second scripture I'd like to share with you is from Genesis chapter 1. And beginning at the 26th verse is a very familiar scripture. Many of us know this scripture, and I'm sure we have quoted it on a number of occasions. But it states that, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." In verse 27, it says, "Then God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." And there's some very powerful truths here when we look at this verse. And the first of all is the fact that it says that God created us in his image. But sometimes what we fail to realize is that God is a spirit, and he created, when he was talking here of creating man, he was speaking of creating the spirit man. Because if we look over then in the second chapter in verse 7, it says, "And then the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into the nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." So essentially what God did was he created the spirit man first. And when he created the spirit man, it says that he created man. But if we note that what he did when he created man, he created a male man and a female man in the man. And then he took that man that he created and he placed him in what we might call an earth suit. And so that is the structure which houses the spirit, and it housed both the male and female spirit. And eventually when he created the woman by taking the rib out of the man's side, all the attributes and everything that the man possessed, now the woman also possessed as a spiritual being that was taken out of man. And so often what we don't realize is that the fact is that God created each and every one of us. What I truly believe is that there is that individual that God has created specifically for each man and woman, but they are spiritually joined. And unfortunately, too many individuals, they're seeking after the flesh. And because they never allow their spirit man to get involved in the process, as a result, they wind up with what I would call as a counterfeit, all right, as opposed to the way God really ordained, or what God ordained for them to have. The next point I wanted to make is we need to become what we desire if we're truly going to position ourselves to find God's love. After I finish sharing some of these scriptures, I'll share a brief testimony as it relates to the relationship that I have with my wife and how she and I came into our relationship. But I would have you go ahead and turn into Ephesians chapter 5 as the next text I would like us to take a look at. Ephesians chapter 5. And I would I heard earlier on that someone actually referred to this verse. So once again, it just confirms how the Spirit of God is moving. But Ephesians chapter 5, looking at verses 25 through 29, I stated that we must become what we desire. And what I mean by that is simply this. If you desire to have a godly woman, you must become a godly man. And if you desire to have a godly man, you must become a godly woman. And Ephesians chapter 5, verse 29 states that, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church." Now, one might say, well, I'm not married, so this doesn't apply to me. But if your goal is to someday be a husband, what better example do you have in, as far as being a godly man as to follow this guideline? And I can honestly say that when I got into a relationship with my wife, and when we were seeing each other, this is one of the things that God had me focus on. He had me to continuously focus on being a godly man, and this was the scripture that he led me to. And if my focus was building within myself all of these attributes, then certainly I would be the husband that I would need to be, and more importantly, the man of God that God would have me to be. Now, I would also have you to, that refers, this gives a good foundation, I think, for a man to build upon as it relates to his position in Christ and being the priest of a home, as well as to being the priest of a relationship, so to speak. Now, for a woman, I would refer the woman to Proverbs chapter 31. And I will not read the entire passage because it's quite lengthy. However, I would go ahead and focus on three of the verses that really stood out to me. And verse 10 states that, "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies." I think it's so important for a woman to focus on being a virtuous woman. You know, too many times there are outside influences, especially coming from the media, and I have nothing against TV or things of that nature. However, I believe that, unfortunately, too many women as well as men have allowed themselves to be influenced by what the media says a great man is, and woman, what is a great woman. You know, women are constantly bombarded on their outward appearance, and they spend so much time trying to make themselves beautiful. And believe me, I like my wife to look good, but not at the expense of her spiritual well-being. And I think too many, even Christian women, sometimes become absorbed in that misconception of what a godly woman is, and focus too much attention on the outward appearance.
Pastor, if you will, let me ask you a question real quick.
Yeah.
So would you agree, and Alicia Maya, you can please comment, would you agree that today's Christians and people in the world, non-Christians alike, they believe that they have to look sexy, wear a certain type of dress, have big muscles, look a certain way in order to find love. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, absolutely. Because that's the picture that's painted in the media. And not only that, it was mentioned earlier, someone made the mention of, you know, people looking for how cute an individual is or how much money they make. And believe me, I believe that all those things are important, all right? However, they are secondary to what an individual is spiritually. Now,
wow.
There's three other verses I want to pull out of that particular passage, and then that's verse 29. It says, "Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all." Now listen to this. Verse 30 says, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised." See, the reality of it is, ladies and even men, it doesn't matter how much, I'm an individual who tends to be very conscious of my appearance, but, you know, all we can do is all we can do, but I guarantee you I don't spend my life working out in the gym, trying to build bigger muscles to make myself more attractive to my wife. But by the same token, nor am I sitting in front of the TV 5 hours a day becoming a couch potato with a big gut. I do keep myself in shape. But you know, once again, our focus should first and foremost be on who we are spiritually. This leads me to the final scripture I would share, and then I'll just share some personal comments as it relates to my own relationship with my wife. And that's found in Romans 12:2. So the first thing I said was, you know, we need to identify who we are. Secondarily, we must become what we desire. And then the third point I want to make is that we must become kingdom-minded. And so I would have us just to turn in our Bible to Romans 12:2. And it states here in Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. And every time I read this scripture, I can't help but think about the truth that is so profound in this passage. And when we look at this word transform, it is where we get our word metamorphosis. It comes from the Greek word metamorpho. And that word essentially means that if we take a look at this passage and to give some context to it, what we need to do is one should view this as we go through our life. We are constantly evolving and going through this process of change. But it says here, do not be conformed to this world, but we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So in order for us to be transformed, we must think of the caterpillar. And the caterpillar, as it goes through its transformation, it goes into this cocoon. And then eventually, over a period of time, it goes through this period where all this change is taking place in the cocoon. And when it comes out of that cocoon, it becomes the butterfly, a new creature, something that was never seen before. And so in like manner, in order for us to become what God wants us to become, we must look at the Word of God as being the cocoon. And we must immerse ourselves in God's Word. And through immersing ourselves in the Word of God, we will go through that transformation and become that which God would have us to become. You know, and that's the man of God and the woman of God. I mean, certainly on each one of these topics, I could probably teach an hour on each of them. But I do appreciate the time that I've had to share. Now, as I just wrap up my few moments with you, I just share a little bit about my own journey as it relates to receiving my godly woman. When I was 19, I was brought up in church, you know, but at age 19, I entered into a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. At that time, I found out that I could believe God for things and even believe God for a wife and a spouse. So I went to the Lord and I asked him to give me a girlfriend and to give me not only a girlfriend but someone who would be my mate for life. Now, as many of us do, I decided, well, you know, even though I knew what Scripture says as far as guidance, I kind of did things my own way, all right? And, you know, to no avail, it wound up with disappointment. And just prior to me meeting my wife, I finally reached a point of frustration, and I just said, you know, Lord, I've done it my way long enough, and I really want you to show me. I want you to show me who you want me to be with. And I was just about to go into a new job and as a lifeguard, and, of course, as a lifeguard, I'd be at a pool and working with a lot of different women, and so certainly that would open the door of opportunity, but what I stated to the Lord, Lord, I do not, you know, I'm not going there for that purpose. I'm going there to work. And interestingly enough, you know, like I said, I made a commitment that, Lord, I am not getting involved with anyone there. The first person I meet is who is now my wife. Now, here's an interesting thing about the way this happened. My wife is asked to walk me around the facilities and show me things. And I'll never forget this, but we were in the storage room where a lot of the supplies were, and,
and I was kind of looking at the slides, and then I looked at her. And as I looked at her, something on the inside of me leaked. Well, at that moment, I didn't really know what's going on. In fact, I thought to myself, look, dude, what is wrong with you? I mean, she's nice, but, you know, not something to be getting all excited about. Well, long story short, over a period of time, we began to talk. She herself was going through her own spiritual transformation. She was really beginning to seek the Lord. And over a period of time, we began to talk more. And then we started seeing each other. And I would say probably about a good 75% of our time were spent around things around the Word of God. I mean, she would invite me over to her house, and we would study the scriptures together. She would invite me to Bible studies. We would go to church together. And all these different things would take place. And eventually one day what the Lord shared with me as we, you know, got closer and eventually started to see one another and become boyfriend and girlfriend, the Lord said to me, son, the day that you had that experience in the storage room was that your spirit left because it had identified the kindred spirit that I had created for you since the beginning of time. So my point is that if we do some of the things that I've just shared with us through the scripture, I believe that we can position ourselves to really be governed by our spirit and allow our spirit to draw ourselves to the individual that is important to us. Just keep in mind that even Adam himself, keep in mind that Adam's eyes was not open to who Eve was until he fell. That's when he even noticed the difference between him being a male and she being a female. Although he did realize she was bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh after God initially created her. But the point being is that you must understand he was still living out of his spirit. So this is a good indicator that as believers, we need to learn how to live out of our spirit and to identify the individual that God has for us out of our spirit. So I'm going to stop there, and I will open up to any questions or that or comments that individuals would like to have at this point.
Well, Pastor, I mean, I hear what you're saying, and that sounds good. The only thing I would say is that people that really don't have a close relationship with God, or people who are who don't even have a relationship with God, or maybe someone's not on this kind of level.
Right.
I hear you saying live out of your spirit, but what does that mean to somebody who doesn't know anything about God and seeks to know something about God and wants to find love God's way?
Yeah, I think that's an excellent question. And the way I would share that is that as I look back over my my development and how my relationship with my wife and evolved, you know, what I really concentrated on, and this I think was mentioned earlier, is that we need to spend more time focusing on our relationship with God first. So, because, you know, this program tonight is really kind of geared towards finding love God's way. And the only way that you can find God's love way is you have to do it His way. And in order to begin doing it His way is that you have to develop an intimate relationship with Him first. Because God is supposed to be, the Bible says, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all things shall be added unto us. So if we desire to even begin developing a relationship, we must begin our relationship with God first. Because until we can be all that we need to be within ourselves, we are incomplete. And as a result of that, what we have to offer is incomplete to someone else. That doesn't mean that we're going to be perfect prior to us meeting an individual, but certainly we are moving in the right direction. And I will say that as far as, you know, when my wife and I began seeing each other, we had a solitary, we had a single focus. And while we were seeing one another, her pursuit was to please God more than anything. And likewise, my pursuit was developing my relationship and pleasing God more than anything. And that, and what that means is that if my wife decided to go off and do something that was not in line with the Word of God, then I wouldn't follow her. And likewise, God was more important in her life than I was important to her. So hopefully that kind of provides a good answer for that.
Alicia, would you like to add to that?
Well, I think he just hit on a really great topic at the very end, or his last comment. I definitely concur, just as far as we have to recognize going into a relationship that our God has to be number one. And that's even as a single individual waiting for the person God has for me, one of the things that I've desired most is, God, send me a mate who loves you more than what he loves me, because I really believe when we keep God as the foremost and most important thing in our life, then it also sets the tone for how we do everything. So I just agree with what he just mentioned.
Hey, Ronnie, do we have you on the line?
Am I here?
Yeah, you there?
Okay. Yeah, I totally agree with brought forth. And for those that are in Christ, you know, that's truly the blueprint. I pray that you go and dig those scriptures out that he exposed you guys to, and go over them and study them, and let that be your guideline, because you do got media and you do have society or the world trying to direct you, and you are your spirit. So they're trying to truly redefine what is true and what is not. And so you can always go to the truth by going to the Bible. For those that do that regularly, I suggest you don't stray. You don't go left or right, but you keep straight and keep the Word of God before you, and let that be your determining factor and your foundation, because, you know, all issues are in there. And so for someone who isn't saved, you know, I suggest that you at least compare what the Word of God has to say. We're in the information age. You can go and get on your computer and just ask it, either Google it, you know, what does the Bible say about this, or what does the Bible say about that, whatever issue you might be going through, and you can judge for yourself which one is more sound, which one is more secure, meaning which one is actually true. And so I would just encourage everyone to at least test the Bible out and see what it has to say about the topics that you're dealing with. And for me personally, getting into my marriage without the Word of God and then applying the Word of God to my marriage, and my wife doing the same, it took us both to do it wholeheartedly and totally. You know, we're both different people, and, you know, it's not me telling her what to do. It's the Bible telling us what to do. And there is a tremendous difference. We have a true understanding of what love is. We have a true understanding of our duties one to another and what to expect from each other. And for a single person to understand these things, you'll have a proper respect for what a woman really is and what a man should really be doing and what's expected of them. So I just encourage people to use the Bible as a compass instead of the philosophy that society is tolerating, that, like, you know, morality is, you know, to each his own, and it's not really true. You know, God created all people, so God is the authority and does have the proper way. So I just encourage everyone to at least test the Bible out, and for those who do, continue to use it as a filter for the truth.
It sounds good, Ronnie. Thanks for that comment. We're going to go into the phone lines here. We have a caller from the 562 area code. Hello, caller from the 562 area code. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Dewana, and I'm calling currently from the city of Lakewood. First, I'd like to say hello.
Hey, Dewana, how you doing?
I'm great. Wonderful.
Do you have a question or comment?
First, I'd like to say this is a great forum, and I appreciate everyone that's on the call and all the good things you guys were saying. Actually, I was at the gym, and I left the gym. I'm sitting in my car because I didn't want to miss anything. So I was hoping you guys would let me in at the right time, and you did. But what I want to say is I do have a question, and what the pastor was saying, that's great because that kind of give me inspiration because I was married at one time, but now I'm single. I've been single for quite some time, and most people feel that I'm single because I want to be, but I'm not so sure. I would like to be in a relationship. I'd like to be married again, but the people that like me, I'm not really interested in, or they don't have the characteristics that I would like. I am a Christian, and I am waiting on God, but, you know, a lot of times Satan put in your head that there is no one for you. So my question is, some time ago, I was told that everyone has a soulmate, and I felt like one of the relationships that I was in my past, that this particular person was my soulmate. But needless to say, he married to somebody else, so obviously he was her soulmate. So my question is, if that's the case, if we all have a soulmate, and I felt like that was mine, is that true? Is there such a thing as a soulmate? First question. Second question, if that's the case, do I get another turn? Is that it for me? And that's my question.
I don't believe that there's this one person. And in the Bible, God said, because remember, I can't remember the scripture per se. I'm not a Bible scholar, but there's a point in time where I believe it was the Pharisees asked Jesus, if a woman is married and her husband dies, and she marries again, and that husband dies, and she marries again, whose wife would she be? So that means to tell me that God has many people for us. It's a question of who are you going to choose based upon knowing his wisdom, his understanding of what love is. So I don't believe that there's just one soulmate for just one person. If that's be the case, then there's going to be a lot of single people out there.
Yeah.
Well,
go ahead, Pastor.
Yeah, let me just interject. In the true sense, once again, if we refer back to Genesis, all right, and that's why I always try to focus on. Remember, there's the perfect will of God. Okay, there's the good will of God. There's an acceptable will of God, and then there's the perfect will of God. Okay, sometimes we wind up in acceptable will. Sometimes we wind up in a good will, but then there's a perfect will. Okay, now there are many things that can affect why certain things happen. Now, as it relates to the passage that Raz brought up, I would say, in the context of which it speaks, notice that it talks about that the man had a wife, all right, and the wife or the husband passed away, the wife passed away. Bottom line is that and he had no brothers, and so and he kept marrying off until and he said, well, they're neither given in marriage in heaven. Well, the point being is that, let's say, for instance, okay, you marry someone, okay, and they pass away, then certainly there could be another individual for you. But by the same token, I believe that God has that one individual that all things being equal, you know, outside of a person passing away, all right, that individual is meant for you to be with you your entire lifetime. The question is, have we identified the right individual, all right? And I think, you know, to your credit, what you're saying is that you're waiting on God.
think sometimes, and I think I want to encourage you in that, because sometimes, okay, there are things that we need to work on within ourselves, okay, that God is molding us, he's shaping us, and he's preparing us, because by the same token, he's also molding and shaping and preparing that other individual. So this time, when you get together, it's done the right way. And see, too often times is that, you know, people, they get into relationships on this emotional level, all right, and it's not really a spiritual level. And let me kind of define what I'm talking about, spiritual level. And I think it's, is it Ron?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Me?
No, I think Ron is on the, Ron made a comment. It's Ron, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay. Ron made a very powerful statement there. And that is, you know, as it relates to, you know, we need to if the woman is concentrating on pleasing God, and the man is doing the same thing, the two will join up together and be strong. Throughout my relationship with my wife, the one thing I never did was I never focused on where her relationship was spiritually. Okay? But here's the one thing I knew about my wife. My wife spent time in the Word daily. She spent time in prayer daily. And it was the same thing for me. So if we're both pursuing God, and let's say God is at the apex, what do you think is going to happen? What
you're
do you think?
Find each other?
Huh?
That you're going to find each other?
There you go. There you go. See? So all you have to do, what I would encourage you to do is, number one, don't be discouraged. Okay? Is there somebody else out there for you? Absolutely. Was the first person your soulmate? I don't know. I might question that. Okay? I mean, I don't know all the factors related to it, but I would say this. I believe that there is another individual that God has ordained for you to be with, and this time it is until Jesus comes or until both of you go off into eternity. So that's what I would encourage you to do is, you know, ask God to send you the person that he wants you to be with that loves him more than they love you, that you want a godly man. And how will you know it's a godly man? Is that you'll be able to identify him by the way he carries himself. You know, he should be the initiator of things as it relates to spiritual things. You know, he should be the one that's saying, hey, let's go to church together. Hey, let's spend some time reading our Bibles together. And it should be sincere. And not only that, it should be exhibited in his walk. And if you practice on doing those things, God will give you that.
You know, Pastor, I'm curious. You know, some people that I know, they take the advances after the man, and I really don't feel comfortable doing that. And
okay.
I know people have different opinions about that. What do you think? Should a woman sometimes, you know, make herself known to the man? Because I don't believe that a woman needs to flaunt herself around a man to be noticed. But I know a lot of women do that, and a lot of women make it hard for other women who are trying to do the right thing because they are so flirtatious and they are so free with themselves. In
right.
their bodies and that type of thing. So it makes it hard for someone like myself that's not
okay.
going to do that, that won't compromise.
And once again, let's not seek my opinion, but let's look at what the Word of God says, okay? When we look at Adam, all right, Adam
yes.
recognized who? He recognized Eve, right? Eve didn't recognize
yes.
Adam, okay?
Yes.
So if your question is, should you advance? No, just continue to let God be God, because a godly man. See, I pursued my wife. She didn't pursue me, and in fact, she almost destroyed my ego because I'm a very kind of a reserved type guy by nature, and I was shy. I tell everybody I had no game whatsoever. I didn't know how to talk to a girl, you know. And
mm-hmm.
and when I finally got up enough nerve to ask my who is now my wife for her phone number, She said, "What for?" And I kind of like scribbled up, like, I kind of stuttered. And I said, "Well, I was thinking maybe we could go out or something." And she said,
right,
"Oh,
right.
Okay."
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So, but it still required me to take that effort. And so mm-hmm. just be still. Know that He's God. And continue to do what you're doing.
Okay.
Alicia,
well,
what would you say to Hold on, Dewana, 1 second. I want to hear from Alicia and Ronnie and see what they have to say to answer your question.
Okay.
Alicia?
Well, I agree with what the pastor has mentioned, and I respect your position, Dewana, as far as your decision, you know, not to pursue a man. I believe that is definitely the way a lot of women have gone about making themselves available and by really being the initiator. But if you even think about, not that the scripture specifically says, you know, something related to that, but even if you look at the examples that are given throughout the Word of God, it definitely sets a tone and shows us the example that we should, you know, seek to follow. And I think of the scripture that it says in Proverbs about he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. So I just say choose to stand firm in your decision not to compromise, because God will honor that decision.
Amen.
And if that's the desire that's in your heart, God will bring the right person across your pathway in the right time, and a man will recognize those things about you that shine or stand out, and he will see you amidst everyone else. And so I would just encourage you that, no, you don't necessarily have to approach a man. Let him be the initiator. And then in addition to that, I would also add that just make yourself look approachable yet. So even in the extent of having a smile on your face or looking friendly, so that he would know that it's okay to come up and say something to you, and he's not going to immediately get shot down or dissed or, you know, rejected, something like that. So I would just encourage you along those lines that don't waver because of the way the world is doing things, because so many times the way the world does things is so contrary to the way that God does things, and that we have to hold true to the values and the standards that the Word of God sets before us and trust Him that He knows the desires of your heart, and that in the right season He will fulfill those desires for you. So I believe that the approach and stance that you're taking, even as far as what you mentioned earlier about, you know, is it too late, those sort of questions, I just say, just, you know, reiterating what the pastor mentioned, be still and know that He is God, that He created this entire world. He, you know, so He understands, He knows who you are, He knows the desires that are planted within you, and just focus your energy on having a more intimate walk with Him, and that as you do, you will see that in the right season, God will bring you into the fulfillment of the plans that He has for your life.
Yeah, I agree. I just wanted to tell you that God is with you right now, knows what you need, and has it prepared for you. And so I would not do like Saul and just do it yourself. And it's an opportunity that's already being set up for you. And just don't fall into impatience, and like Alicia said, don't pace yourself with the world's pace. Because if you're going by what the neighbor has, or what the friend have, or what the unsaved girls have, or what the part-time Christian has, then you're going to get caught up, you're going to get impatient, you're going to get frustrated, and then you're going to give in to the temptation, and it's going to lead you down the wrong path. So I would just be steadfast and take this time in between God knowing what you want, giving you what you want, to just prepare yourself by being that, serving God, saving souls, doing what God called a Christian to do in the first place, and that's seeking His righteousness and His way, and as the scripture says, the rest will be added to you. Just, you know, take God at his word and know that He's with you now, and knows the desires of your heart, and there's no amount of worrying about it or being frustrated that's going to make it come any faster. At the least, the thing that I would say you could do is be more active. As far as, you know, I don't know what your
routine is like, if it's just work, home, and maybe the gym, you know, maybe that's not where God has you. It might be witnessing and volunteering and stepping out of your usual pattern, you know, serving God, and then the thing will come right to you. So just remain strong and don't let impatience and frustration make you get into impulse and then you're out of the God's will. So just be strong.
That being said, guys, we're almost out of time. I would like to thank my co-host panels. Alicia, thank you so much for co-hosting. Ronnie, thank you so much. And Pastor Ennis, I thank you very much, sir, for coming on the air and sharing your comments with us. I just wanted to share something real quick. And the last point I'm hearing from what Alicia said, from what Pastor Ennis said, and from Ronnie said, is having patience. A key aspect of being able to find true love is for you is to have patience and perseverance. Do not be impatient on your quest to find true love. Impatience will only lead you to mistake lust and comfort for true love. Be patient. Don't hurry your search for true love, because God will bless you if you do it His way. My name is Raz Williams. I'm your co-host. Please tune in the same time next week between 8 and 9 every Friday. And that's my comment.
And so it begins. Who would have ever thought that this day was bright? I got a deal writing rhymes just to stay for fright. Mother speaking wisdom to my heirs, giving great advice. At times I write only just to see my status like rhyme. With so much folly up in my trolley, can God use someone like me? And I keep asking the same questions. See my brow stay sweating, but the spirit gives rest indeed. It's not about you, young as he says. I decrease the increase in my sentences. I need Jesus deep thesis that as heaven said. Please believe it is him that I'm resting there. Links I get my strength from the bread of life, so I feast on and drink water from his well. Should I keep going? See sipping, see spitting, I'm in deep thought. This ordeal made me feel I should cease fraud. Can you see the fears up in my eyes, homie? I still muse upon the words that Shy told me about the woman that I care for. Time show me awaken love before time, and you sigh only. But I only rise up in my mind, rest in God's great love, memorize what has been tried and tested. I'm the reason my impressions were depressive, but I am never the one to take an antidepressant, but simply suppress it. What you people impressed with me? I am nothing but see the grandest message that I speak is, and I ain't coming here with eloquence, but hoping that a true state's taking precedence. Are you getting this? I share my burdens on this verse and my hurt. Lord God, take residence in the innermost parts of my being. So when they see me, they see you, but it seems many men won't hear it. Don't care what the words say. See, I don't rhyme the heavy wild by the wordplay. No, this is more than a song. I am weak, he is strong. I am me, he is God, yeah. I'm always speaking about the immortal. No portal to the Father, just Christ. I mean the way, and truth say he talk about what we got over some days. I lay awake in my bed, cause I be afraid. Stale water, do you see the state? Smell the aroma, reading Romans in my secret place. The sacrifice of atonement is what he became. That's why GP and Serena always screaming grace. Not perfect on the surface, as it seems great. Many think that we claim to be, but Christ likes only what we aim to be. Don't care if we don't swing in the major leagues, because we want to live a life as a bond servant, live amongst many, but we're living for one person. And I'm certain that his words are eternal, so who could I turn to but the ruler whose rod's working? The shepherd of the sheep, but the scapegoat. Now echo this, God say so. I'ma say so, really, till my last breath. Praying found busy for his kingdom in my last step. Can't half step in the past tense I did. Was brought out of the pit, God showed I'm his. It's surreal that this deal still sits on the table. Even if the rain came, God's more than able to do it. So even if I stare at gloom, I trust in Jesus to stand me through. Yeah, I'm living with the end in view. So it begins, but it's ending soon.